You're listening to a message preached at Front Range Baptist Church. It is our prayer that this message will be a help and an encouragement to you in your spiritual walk.
Open your Bibles to the 16th chapter of the book of Acts. Acts chapter 16. And I'm going to begin reading with verse 6 and read through verse 15. If you are able and would like, would you stand and honor God's word by your standing while I read? You follow me in your Bible, your iPad, your iPod, or iPhone, or whatever, okay? As I read from my Bible, okay? Acts chapter 16, beginning with verse 6. Now, when they had gone through Phrygia and the regions of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, and they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia, praying him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we, and Luke includes himself here, this is when he joined the team, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence the colony, and thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days, and on the Sabbath we went out into the city by the riverside, where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which restored thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized, her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, if ever we need you now. As best I know how, I'm going to preach the Bible. And you have promised that when my word goes forth, it'll not return unto me void. In other words, you have a purpose. And I'm assured today that you're going to bless your word as I try to preach it. But Lord, I pray you'd help me. I'd sure love to be a blessing to your people today. They've been a blessing to me in many, many ways. And I pray, dear Lord, that even now, you would anoint my brain that I could think right. My tongue, my lips, that I may speak right. But most of all, my heart, that I would be right. And dear Lord, I recognize again the reality of John 15:5, where you said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. And then the reality that we are totally dependent upon God, totally dependent upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, because you said, without me, you can do nothing. And Lord, I realize I'm just a branch, and that without your power and your presence, I can do nothing. So bless us today together in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In the Bible, we often read about God closing a door or opening a door. By the way, God knows where we should go and when we should not go. And let's think about just the word open. Just the word open. Listen to Revelation chapter 3, verse 7. And to the angel of the church at Philadelphia write, "These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the keys to David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth." In other words, God is saying that he is sovereign. He's sovereign in open doors and in closed doors. So many times in this passage, we think just about the simple word open. Open. Paul, after choosing Silas on the second missionary journey, of course, they had gotten back home after the first missionary journey, he and Barnabas. And they had faced a problem because the Judaizers had come in to the churches he had been establishing and saying to them, "Hey, it's a good thing you have Jesus, but in order to really be saved, you have to keep the law, you have to be circumcised," and so forth. And by the way, when you add anything to grace, it simply means grace is not grace. I mean, you can't add anything to grace, amen. For by grace are you saved through faith. That's not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So they went to Jerusalem and they got them right on that thing. And then they came back to Antioch, and Paul and Barnabas, wonderful team. And then they got ready to go on the second missionary journey, and they had a little differences. Barnabas said, "Paul, we're going to take John Mark on this journey with us." Now remember, that Barnabas' name was Jose. And Barnabas was his nickname, son of comforter. And so Paul said, "No way, Jose." Okay. In other words, we're not going to take John Mark. He's a quitter. And I don't have any time to waste on a quitter. And the dissension became so great that they decided to just... each of them go their own way. I think this is where Independent Baptist started. And so Barnabas chose John Mark and they went their way. And Paul chose Silas and they went their way. And by the way, they didn't agree on the situation about John Mark. But the good thing is, you read the whole New Testament, you will not find one bad word that Paul ever said about Barnabas. And you will not find one bad word that Barnabas ever said about Paul. In fact, close to the end of his death, I think he said, "I made a mistake about John Mark. Bring him to me. He's profitable to me for the ministry." So maybe that's where Independent Baptist started, Brother Miller. You go your way, I'll go my way. Amen. And so Paul had fully intended to go back to Asia, where he had been preaching before. Now, it's not the Asia we think about today, Japan, Korea, the Philippines, and so forth. But it would really be the Mideast. That's where Paul and Barnabas ministered. And so he got to the region there, and then a very strange word. It says in verse 6, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Forbidden by the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. And Paul was just a person like any of us. And Paul must have wondered, well, the Lord, I felt real sure that this is where you wanted me to go. And then he said, well, maybe it's in Bithynia. The Bible said the Spirit suffered them not. And by this time, maybe Paul is thinking, what in the world? And the good thing we might notice here is that Paul had an open mind. In other words, evidently every day, I don't know exactly how the Holy Spirit said to Paul, you can't preach in Asia. I don't know why he said, no, I don't want you in Bithynia. But Paul had an open mind. And wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if when we came to church, if when every day in our life, that we would spend some time with God and find out what he wants us to do today. Yeah. Amen. I mean, you remember in the 37th Psalm that the Bible said, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And Warren Wiersbe, in his book on the book of Acts, said, not only are the steps of a good man ordered by the Lord, but the stops of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Another, Paul, so he had an open mind. Okay, God, if I'm not going to Asia, that's fine. If you don't want me to go to Bithynia, that's fine. And then he saw this vision. And again, here is an open door. And Paul went down to Troas. And by the way, if he had been hard-headed like some of us are, and just demanded, I'm going, I know where I'm supposed to go, it doesn't matter what anybody thinks. No. If Paul would have done that, he would never have gotten down to Troas. And he would have never met Mr. Luke. Dr. Luke, the historian. Think about it. You remember when Paul had the thorn in the flesh? And he prayed and prayed and prayed. God didn't remove the thorn, but he said, my grace is sufficient for you. And he didn't remove the thorn, but he gave him a private physician to travel with him. God knows how to take care of his people. Amen. Amen. Paul had an open mind. Wouldn't it be good today if all of you young people, all of you young adults, all of you young couples, all of you middle-aged people, even all of you old codgers like me, amen? If we would, rather than being hard-headed and decided, we're going our way, wouldn't it be good today if we just come with an open mind? If God wants me to be a missionary, I'll be glad to do that. If God wants me to go to Iraq, I'll be glad to do that. In other words, Paul exhorted us, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. What does that mean? That means that I say to God, dear God, I'll be anything you want me to be. I'll do anything you want me to do. I'll go anywhere you want me to go. And we don't add something like, I'll go anywhere you want me to go except. I had a good friend, Ron Bishop. He was basketball coach and athletic director at Tennessee Temple Schools years ago. And I heard him give his testimony one day, and he was a good friend of mine. But he said, when I first got saved, I was from a family that didn't go to church and didn't know anything about the Lord. But at 15 years of age, I got saved. Kind of like me, I got saved at 16. And before that, we had very little relationship with the church or anything. But Ron said, I went to this camp, and they had some counselors, some lady counselors, some men counselors. And you know, they were 19, 20, 21 years old. And sometimes young fellas get a crush on older girls. And he said, I saw this one girl, and she was the most beautiful thing I'd ever seen. I thought, oh, my soul. And I could not take my eyes off of her. And he said, I heard some missionaries giving their testimony at that camp. And one of them said, I told God I'd go anywhere but Africa, and God sent me to Africa. And another, I'll go anywhere but China, and God sent me to China. And Ron said, I began to listen to them, and I began to pray to God, dear God, don't make me marry that girl and go to Hawaii as a missionary. And he said, sure enough, he didn't do either one. Wouldn't it be good today if we had an open mind? And then the next thing we see is that Paul had an open door. He had closed doors, but he also had an open door. The closed door was Asia. The open door was Europe. The first place he went to in Europe was the city of Philippi, or Philippia, whichever one you want to put it down. And God opened that door to him. Look at it, okay? And when they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but their spirit suffered them not. And they, passing through Mysia, came down to Troas. Think what Paul would have missed if he had missed Troas, okay? If he decided, I'm going to go my way regardless of what, okay? And a vision appeared to Paul in the night, and there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel. Therefore, loosing from Troas and so forth, and from thence they went to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. And on the Sabbath day, they sat down and spake unto the women. Now that's strange, isn't it? In the city of Philippi, evidently there was not many Jewish people. Anywhere there were as many as 10 Jewish men, they built a synagogue. But they didn't have a synagogue. So they went out by the riverside, and he saw a man from Macedonia. And then when he got over there, all he saw was women. Okay? And he spake unto the women. Okay? Now here, we find that Paul opened the word of God to them. Look at it. And he sat down and spake unto the women which were restored thither. Paul opened the word of God. By the way, that's the reason every preacher that believes the Bible doesn't depend on their own thinking or their own thing, but they opened the Bible. I can imagine Paul saying things like this. Ladies, it's wonderful that you're praying to God. But let me tell you about God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul used some of the things that he was going to write down later, but he's giving these women the Word of God. I mean, Paul has already seen had the relationship with Jesus, and Jesus had revealed so many things to him, and so he's given him the Word of God. I can imagine him saying, let me tell you about Jesus. He was born of a virgin. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And I can imagine him saying something like this. All of us are sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there's none righteous, no, not one. See, this was pre-written Paul, okay? He's opening to them the Word of God. And I can hear him say something like this. By the way, we're all sinners, and the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Think about that. The wages of sin is death. You know what wages are. Wages is what we deserve. And listen, mercy is God keeping from us what we deserve. Every once in a while I hear somebody make a statement like that. All I want is what I deserve. By the way, you don't want what you deserve. If I got what I deserved, and if you got what you deserved, we would all spend eternity separated from God in a devil's hell. Thank God he does not give me what I deserve. That's mercy. But then he said, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's grace. Mercy is God keeping from us what we deserve. Grace is God giving to us what we do not and could never deserve. God's amazing grace. So he opened the Bible to them. That's the reason Pastor Miller, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, opens the Word of God to you. Because that's what we need. A lot of people want to go to a church, they hear something that they want to hear. The faithful preacher preaches what they need to hear. Amen. By the way, most of the things that have helped me are not messages I wanted to hear. They were messages that I needed to hear. Paul opened the Word of God. Then notice what happened. There was a woman there by the name of Lydia, a seller of purple, evidently a very wealthy woman. And the Bible says, whose heart the Lord opened. Think about it. God, through his Word, opens our heart. Lydia was not a born Jew, but evidently she had converted to Judaism. But God opened her heart. That's, as far as I know, the first open heart surgery, okay? And listen, you're here today, you're listening to the Word of God, then you have to make a choice. Lydia had to make a choice. I mean, Lydia could have heard Paul and have done nothing. By the way, one of the points of hyper-Calvinists is irresistible grace. That when God begins to deal with your heart, then you can't resist. And evidently they didn't read the message that Philip preached. You, like your fathers, have always resisted the Holy Ghost. Oh, you could resist. But thank God she didn't. Amen. And Lydia listened and to what Paul had said to them. And then God began to deal with her heart in such a way that she said, okay, I'm trusting Jesus Christ as my Savior, just like Paul said. God opened her heart, and Lydia obeyed the Bible, God's Word. This morning, you have a choice. Are you going to listen to God, what He says? Or are you going your own way? Lydia opened her heart. And not only that, she began to witness to all of her household. She was a wealthy woman. She had a lot of people working for her. And she began to witness to them. And guess what? All of them got saved. They got baptized. Every once in a while, somebody will say to me, why do you Baptists spend so much time talking about baptism? And I say, well, because the Bible does. Jesus got baptized. He showed them his death, burial, and resurrection by his baptism. All the disciples got baptized. On the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people got saved. They all got baptized. Philippian jailer got saved. He got baptized. You know, Ethiopian eunuch got saved. He got baptized. I mean, baptism is pretty important, amen? Now, it doesn't do anything to make you saved. But it proves that you are saved. It shows to the world, I'm not ashamed. I'm a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. One fellow said to me one time, well, brother, the thief on the cross, he didn't get baptized and he went to heaven. And I'm glad he did, because that ruins the doctrine of baptismal regeneration. Amen. No. Baptism does nothing for our salvation, but it shows the world that we're a child of God. And I said to him, now he was trying to find a reason not to be baptized. And I said to him, okay, if you're a thief on the cross and you're dying, you don't need to be baptized. But none of you are, amen? So if you're saved and you've never been baptized, you need to be baptized. Amen. Paul opened the Bible. He preached the Bible. God opened Lydia's heart, and Lydia obeyed God. Hey, we can't save anybody. But we can preach the Word of God. And thank God when we do, people get saved. Then the last thing we think about is this. Lydia opened her house. Wow. Think about that. Again, we emphasize. Evidently, Lydia was a very wealthy lady. And after she had gotten saved, preached to her household, and they got saved and baptized. Then she said to Paul and Silas and Luke and the others, come into my house and stay. What does that mean? Lydia opened her house. After she got saved, she realized, hey, this house does not belong to me. I don't own this house. I'm a steward of the house, but I don't own it. Wouldn't it be great if every Christian would really realize that everything that I have is a gift from God? The Bible says, what hast thou that thou didst not receive? And if thou didst receive it, why didst thou boast as if it was not received? In other words, Lydia became a good steward. She was just a steward. Lydia opened her house. And a little bit later on in that passage, you find the demon-possessed girl opening her heart. And you find the Philippian jailer opening his house. You find Lydia. You think about it. Tradition tells us that the church at Philippi, in the beginning, met at the house of Lydia. How about you? Now, I think I have a lot of things, thank God. God's been good to me. I have a house. I have an automobile. You know, I have friends. I have opportunities. But none of them belong to me. I'm a steward of them. And by the way, as stewards, one day we will stand before God and give an account for everything that God has given us. For we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in the body, whether it be good or bad. As stewards, how are we doing? Are we using things just for our own selves? Are we saying to God, dear God, everything I have belongs to you? Everything. And one day I will give an account to God for every opportunity he gives me. One day I'll give an opportunity, an account to God for how I use my automobile, for how I use the house that I live in, and so forth. Steward. I believe this morning, as I've tried to preach God's word, that God has opened some hearts. You're here today. You've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. God has shown you today through his word that you're a sinner, that you need to be saved, that Christ is the only Savior, and God's grace is the only way you can ever get to heaven. Again, for by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself, it's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. And God wants to use us to spread his word to people. It may be God wants you in Japan or Korea or the Philippines or Hawaii. By the way, that is a mission field. There are people there that need the Lord. God opened her heart. Let's pray together. Pastor.
As we close in prayer today, our Father, we've heard a wonderful message from your word and from a faithful messenger. Lord, we did not just hear a message today, we saw a message. And Lord, you've spoken to hearts, and I pray right now that we would do what we've heard today, that we would have an open heart, an open mind. Lord, I pray you'd speak to everyone. Our heads are bowed for just a moment. Our eyes are closed for just a moment. How many of you could say today, God spoke to me. God spoke to my heart today. Would you slip your hand way up high? God spoke to my heart today. My hand is with yours. I know God spoke to me today. Let me get specific with you for just a minute. You may lower your hands. How many of you would say, Pastor Miller, I've never opened my heart to Jesus Christ. I've never received him as Lord and Savior. I believe in him. I believe that he existed. I believe the stories of Christ, but I've never said yes to Jesus Christ. I've never come to him by faith, confessing my sin and my need to be saved. I've never come receiving him as my Lord and Savior. And God has spoken to my heart today. I need to be saved. If God spoke to you, and that's you, would you slip your hand way up high? I'm not going to embarrass you or walk to you, but I want to pray for you. Would you slip your hand way up high and say, that's me today. I've never received Christ as my Lord and Savior, never said yes to Christ, and God spoke to my heart today. I need to say yes to Jesus today. Would you slip your hand way up high and let me pray with you? Some wonder why we ask this question, but I tell you, it's important when God speaks to you that you respond to that immediately. Don't give any time for a seed of doubt and for the tempter to put anything between you and the Lord. Respond to that right away. If you say, listen, if you say yes to Jesus, you'll find that he has said yes to you, and he'll receive you and he'll save you. And so I want to pray for you. If you've never been saved, we want to help you to know Christ as your Savior. Now let me ask you this question today. How many say, Pastor, there are some things God is dealing with me about. Maybe a ministry. Maybe joining the church. Maybe being a good steward of what God has given me. Maybe you've not been a good steward of what God has given you. Maybe the Lord's dealing with you about joining a church like this and being a part. Or maybe there's a ministry that God has put in your heart. Or perhaps today you've been saved, but you've never been scripturally baptized. You've been saved, but you've never been baptized. Who's here today would say, Pastor, in one of those things, God has been speaking to me, and I want to say yes to him, and God's dealing with me today. Would you slip your hand way up high? God's dealing with me about that today. God bless you. God bless you. Now, I don't know what it is, but you do, and the Lord does, and you need to take action with that. So here's what you're going to do today. We're going to take just a minute to pray. You're going to find a place, maybe by your chair, right there in your seat, but you're going to make a little altar of that. And today you're going to say, Lord, you have spoken to me about this, and I'm saying yes to you about that. Now, Lord, I need to do something about it, and so I'm going to take action. I'm going to take some action. I'm going to go speak to pastor or to one of the pastor staff about being baptized. I want to be baptized. Lord, you've spoken to me about being a good steward, and I'm going to start taking a position of being a manager of what you've given to me. And Lord, I'm going to be faithful in my stewardship. I'm going to be faithful in a ministry. God, I'm going to take action now. I've sat in this church, but there's a thing that you want me to do, and I'm going to pursue it. I'm going to do it. So now, this is where you go and speak to the Lord. He's spoken to you. You speak to him. So we're going to take just a moment. If you're able to, would you stand quietly with me all over this room? Those of you that raised your hand, or perhaps you didn't, but you should have, God has spoken to you about being saved. Here's what I want you to do today. I want you to take an action. Jesus, when he gave an invitation, he told people, come, come. There was a step of faith. So today, I'm going to invite you to come to Jesus Christ. If you've never been saved, I'm going to invite you to come to Christ. We have men and ladies right here in the back. Would you take a step out of your seat, walk right to the back? Let someone take the Bible and show you what it means to be saved. They'll do that today. They'll be happy to do it. If you've never been baptized, I want you to make that a point today. Say, I need to be baptized. You tell the Lord, Lord, I'm going to be baptized. The next time we have a baptism service here, I'm going to be baptized here. And then you come to myself or Pastor Luke or Pastor Brent, Pastor Matt, and you let us know, I want to be baptized. God has spoken to your heart today. This is a moment for you now to respond to that. So you just take a minute, you pray. And you pray and you talk to the Lord what he talked to you about today. Thank you. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful today for what our ears have heard, what our eyes have seen, what your Spirit has spoken to our hearts about. Lord, we're grateful today that we had the opportunity to see a focused life of faith in action. Lord, I'm grateful for Dr. Sisk and his testimony for you, his love for you. Lord, I'm grateful that his heart is so tender to the Holy Spirit. Lord, knowing exactly what our church needed to hear today. Lord, we need to be a church focused by faith on what you're telling us to do. Lord, forgive us for having our own mind and our own understanding. Lord, may we open our mind to the Holy Spirit. May every day we do what we've been challenged today from your word. May we come to you and say, Lord, what do you have for me today? Order my steps. Order my stops. Lord, use me today. May we have an open mind. May we learn to open the word of God to others and share the gospel with them. Lord, many in this church, Lord, need to take the next step of not just knowing the gospel, but sharing the gospel. Taking that step of courage and faith to share the gospel with somebody who needs to know you. Lord, I pray that we would open the word of God and watch you open hearts. Lord, maybe we just need to open our homes, have people in, love on them, share the word of God with them, and be a good neighbor, have hospitality. But Lord, you have used your word today to speak in my heart and our church's heart. This life will soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last. May we be focused in faith. We pray that you'll use this service in all of our hearts today. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray, and all God's people said, amen and amen.